Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes. Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and His created world with you. Guess what, listeners? Today is our 100th lesson. Thank you so much for joining us on this adventure as we explore God's wild and wonderful world. We are so glad you are here. Today, we get to learn about an animal that I love seeing in the wild, the coyote. Have you ever seen a coyote in the wild? If you have, how did it make you feel? Maybe you were curious about this wild dog, or maybe it made you feel a little bit afraid. If you were scared, that's okay. I remember one of the first times my son saw a coyote in the wild. He was 4 years old, and we were hiking in the mountains. As we were coming down off the mountain, we began to hear coyotes howling, and my son became afraid. When we got back to the trailhead, we could actually see the coyotes out in the field. And that is when my son realized that these wild dogs, the coyotes, were smaller than our pet dog, our black Labrador that we were hiking with that day. When my son realized this, he was a little less afraid. Oftentimes, when we are afraid of something in nature, it's because we might not understand it very well, or maybe we've never even seen it. By learning more about these creatures and the incredible ways that God designed them and how to stay safe around them, we can be less afraid. So today, let's learn about God's amazing designs in the coyote. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to discover, can coyotes ice skate? How do coyotes raise their babies? Are coyotes good or bad? And how can we know what is good or bad? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who made this lesson possible, including Masterbooks. Today, we are learning how, even in a world cursed by sin, we can see God's good designs in nature. For glimpsing God's goodness in a fallen world, I love The Wonders of Creation, Design in a Fallen World book by Masterbooks. With beautiful images, helpful diagrams, and easy-to-understand explanations, I can stand in awe of the amazing ways God designed life on Earth. Along with this book, Wonders of Creation, Masterbooks publishes incredible books and resources for families that show God's goodness and truth in every subject, so families like mine can grow together in faith, wonder, and wisdom. Visit masterbooks.com or click the link in our show notes to grab your copy of Wonders of Creation and see all of Masterbooks' amazing nature and science books for kids, including books about dinosaurs and the Genesis flood. Find it all at masterbooks.com. CTC Math has been an answer to prayer for our family. While I love teaching science, I struggle with teaching math. And CTC Math has given our family a clear pathway forward to math success. We have access to all of their online lessons for grades K through 12, so my kids can linger longer on lessons for extra practice or skip ahead as they master skills. CTC Math helps my kids to learn and grow at their own individual pace. I love that my kids can navigate the online dashboard to find their lessons and that I receive detailed progress reports so I know exactly how my kids are doing and where they might need a little extra assistance. CTC Math has been the perfect math solution for our family. You can try it for free for 1 week and preview all of their lessons at ctcmath.com. It's time for our trivia question. When are coyotes most active? A, at noon, B, at dawn and dusk, C, in the middle of the night, or D, all day long? Again, when are coyotes most active? A, at noon, B, at dawn and dusk, C, in the middle of the night, or D, all day long? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And NatTheo Club members, after this lesson, click over to the bonus video. I'm going to share a story with you of one day when I was hiking in the woods and a coyote ran full speed right toward me. I will show you some video of the coyote that day and share some tips for how to stay safe when you're hiking where coyotes live. You can find a link to that bonus video in our show notes. Listeners, you can dive deeper with our weekly bonus videos, activity guides, nature devotions, and Bible and nature scavenger hunts when you join the NatTheo Club at the link in our show notes. And here's a recent review from one of our listeners. My family and I discovered NatTheo a few months ago, and we loved the podcast so much. We joined the NatTheo Club this week and can already tell that we're going to love all of the extra material and bonus videos. Thank you so much for your encouraging review. Listeners, please take a moment today to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You might even hear your review read on one of our episodes. All right, let's hit the trail. Our first stop on the trail map is inspired by my own interactions with coyotes. Have you ever wondered, can coyotes ice skate? It's kind of a curious question. My family lives by a small lake that freezes over in the winter, and we love to shovel off the snow and clear an ice rink, and then tie on our ice skates, strap on our helmets, and skate out on the lake. One of our favorite things to do in the winter is to go ice skating at night beneath the full moon. The reflected light from the moon is enough to light up the lake as we gracefully, or sometimes not so gracefully, glide across the frozen lake. We moved to this house a few years ago in December, and I remember one early morning when I was drinking my coffee, and I looked out our front window to the frozen lake as the sun was rising. It was absolutely beautiful out. And do you know what I saw? Besides the gorgeous colors from the rising sun, I saw three young coyote pups out running and playing on the frozen lake. They were running and chasing each other like a slippery game of tag. After a few minutes, they ran up off the lake onto the shore and right through our yard. I couldn't believe that I had looked up and out the window just in time to watch these feisty, playful coyote pups. That was not the only time that I have seen coyotes out on the ice. Several years ago, our family was visiting a natural area near a small pond, which was frozen over. And we watched as two adult coyotes crossed the frozen pond, walking on the ice to get to the other side. So while coyotes don't exactly ice skate like my family does, they are very comfortable on the ice. In fact, coyotes are very comfortable in a whole lot of different habitats and areas. Coyotes live in North and Central America. They can live as far south as Panama and as far north as areas in Alaska and Canada. I have been to the country of Panama. And it was quite tropical. It was very hot and humid. I have also been to the state of Alaska, and it was quite the opposite. It was very cold. Coyotes can live and thrive in these very different conditions. God made coyotes to be able to live and find food and shelter and to raise their young in many different circumstances. Do you know what a coyote actually is? A coyote is a wild dog. They are in the canidae family or dog family, which includes wolves, jackals, foxes, coyote, and domestic dogs or pet or working dogs. If a coyote is a wild dog, which we just learned it is, what do you think their babies are called? If you guessed pups, you are correct. A coyote baby is called a pup. But how do coyote parents raise their pups? A male and female coyote mate in the spring, and they are monogamous. Monogamous means that they mate together for life, raising pups each year together. They only find a new mate if their current mate passes away. Many types of birds are generally monogamous, staying with the same partner year after year, including bald eagles, swans, barn owls, geese, cranes, and some penguins. And what I find interesting is that many types of wild dogs are also monogamous, not only the coyote, but also wolves and red foxes. Now, this isn't always the case, but it often is, and it is very often true of coyotes. A male and female coyote mate in the spring, and around 2 months later, the female gives birth to a group of pups called a litter. How many pups do you think a female coyote gives birth to at one time? Can you take a guess? A litter of coyote pups is often 3 to 7 babies, but in rare cases, it can be more. Litters of up to 11 pups have been documented. That is a whole lot of playful coyote pups in one den. And playful they are, but not at first. When the pups are first born, it's inside a dark, quiet, underground den. They are blind, and they rely completely on their parents for everything that they need. Their eyes do not fully open until around 2 weeks old. During that time, those first weeks, the mother mostly stays with her pups down in the den, nursing them with milk and keeping them warm. The father coyote goes out on hunting expeditions and brings back food for his pups and for the female coyote. They are a very strong family unit in nature. Something very interesting about the coyote pups is that they don't go right from nursing from their mama and drinking her milk to solid food. If you have ever raised pet dog puppies or cat kittens, you might have experienced a point in their lives when they no longer drink milk from their mother, but begin practicing using their teeth on solid food. Coyote pups have an extra step in learning how to eat between drinking their mother's milk and eating solid food. And this extra step is a little bit bird-like. This brings up a great question from one of our listeners.
My name is Miles. I live in Tennessee. I am 5 years old, and I want to know why coyotes throw up to feed their young.
What a great question, Miles. Why do coyotes throw up to feed their young? When a coyote mom or dad goes out to hunt, they find food like small animals, but they don't carry it back to the den in their paws. Instead, they swallow it first and carry it in their stomach. When they return to their pups, they gently bring the food back up. This is called regurgitating. It's kind of like taking the food out of a storage pocket in their stomachs so their pups can eat it. Now, I know this might sound gross to us, but it is a smart and efficient way for coyotes to feed their pups. The pups are still too young to go out and hunt on their own, so the parents need to bring back food, and a lot of it, to feed all of those pups. By storing food in their stomachs, they can carry back more food with each hunting trip. And when the food is regurgitated, it is softer, which is easier for the pups to eat and to get used to using their teeth for chewing food instead of only drinking milk. This process is called weaning. When a baby mammal, such as a coyote, gets used to eating more solid food and not relying completely on its mother's milk, and it will eventually not drink its mother's milk anymore. Coyote pups begin to wean, practicing using their teeth on solid foods around 3 weeks old. This is also around the time when a coyote pup's curiosity begins to coax it up and out of the underground den. Do you remember as you were growing up, becoming more curious about the world around you? I sure do. I grew up in a small town in the state of Wisconsin. When I was a child, our home backed up to a lot of woods and some ponds. And I remember being so excited as my brother and sister and I grew older and we were allowed to explore more of the woods and ponds. At first, we always went and explored with our parents. But eventually, as we got older and more responsible, we were allowed to explore together with our friends. God designed us to be curious, and for that curiosity to guide us into exploring His wild and wonderful world so we can learn more about our Creator. Coyote pups are also curious. And after those first few weeks down in the dark den, their curiosity coaxes them out. They will begin spending more time outside the den, but at first, they will stay pretty close to its entrance. Just as when you grow older and begin exploring, it's good to stay close to home and adults until you're ready to venture further. Around 10 weeks old, coyote pups do begin venturing further away from the den, but with their parents. They go with their parents on hunting trips so they can learn how to stalk, sneak up on, and pounce on prey. These are hunting skills that they will need to survive when they no longer rely on their mom and dad to bring them back food. Coyote pups begin practicing hunting with small prey, such as little grasshoppers, and then they graduate to small mammals, such as mice. By the end of the summer, they are practicing with larger mammals, such as squirrels or rabbits. And they are also comfortable enough with hunting to go out on their own or with siblings. By late summer or early fall, coyote pups are big enough and skilled in hunting to go out on their own, leaving the family unit to find a territory of their own. Although this can be a little bit different for coyotes in the east and coyotes in the west. In the west, female coyotes will sometimes stay with their family longer, and even help care for the next litter of pups. The coyotes do not always stick to their diet of rabbits and squirrels, and this is what can get them into a bit of trouble with farmers and others who raise animals. Farmers can become very frustrated with coyotes because coyotes will sometimes kill and eat chickens, ducks, or in some areas, even baby lambs or goats. This brings up an important question. Are coyotes good or bad? It's very hard for farmers to lose animals to coyotes. Farmers spend a lot of time and energy and invest a lot of money in raising their animals. Their animals are often used to feed their own families or to make a living selling meat or eggs. So it's difficult when a coyote comes by and takes an animal for themselves. But is the coyote stealing? This is a tricky question. The coyote does not know the difference between right and wrong. It's true if a coyote takes eggs from the same farmer time after time, the farmer might chase it off, and the coyote will probably get the idea that the farmer is not happy with it. But coyotes are animals. They are not made in God's image like we are. They do not have an everlasting spirit, and this means that they do not know the difference between right and wrong. The coyote is simply trying to survive and get the food that it needs to live, and perhaps bring back food to its pups. The frustrations between coyotes and people are caused by sin's curse on our planet. You see, listener, when sin came in, it messed up God's good designs. Many things in nature stopped working how God engineered them to work, including a coyote's relationship with the land and humans' relationships to coyotes. Even though coyotes can cause trouble for farmers, they are also very helpful, even to farmers. Coyotes help keep nature in balance. But how exactly do they do that? Coyotes are known as a biological control. A biological control means using one living thing to help control or reduce another living thing that could cause problems. You see, another problem that many farmers and homeowners face is having too many rodents or small animals in an area. When this happens, sometimes those small animals, such as mice, will sneak into homes, or rodents can eat up farmers' and gardeners' plants. When it comes to cute animals like rabbits, we might think, the more the merrier. But that's not exactly true. Too many of one type of animal in an area can lead to overgrazing and can harm not only gardens and crops planted by humans, but natural areas. Instead of using harmful chemicals or traps, coyotes help keep the population of smaller animals in balance by hunting them. Coyotes are a natural solution to keeping populations of smaller animals in balance. So, are coyotes good or bad? Well, God called coyotes good. Back at creation, God made the wild dog family, and he called it good. Listen to Genesis 1, verses 24 to 25. Then God said, "Let the earth be filled with animals, each producing more of its own kind. Let there be tame animals and small crawling animals and wild animals. And let each produce more of its kind." And it happened. So God made the wild animals, the tame animals, and all the small crawling animals to produce more of their kind. God saw that this was good. When God calls something good, we should call it good also. And even in a world broken by sin, we can still see God's goodness in coyotes. Think of how well and faithfully they care for their young. Picture the father coyote going out on hunting expeditions and bringing back enough food to feed his pups and the female coyote. Picture the parents faithfully training their pups to hunt so they can survive when they are older. And think about how coyotes help control populations of smaller animals and keep nature in balance. I would call all of those things good. So even though coyotes sometimes behave in ways that we would say are not good, they are created good. And one day, in God's new creation, we will get to explore his wild and wonderful world and see animals behaving in the ways that he designed them to. So listener, coyotes do not know the difference between right and wrong. But we are different. God created us unique from the animals when he made us in his own image. Because we are made in the image of God, we have something called moral responsibility. Do you know what that means? Moral responsibility means understanding right from wrong and choosing to do what is right. Because we are made in God's image, we understand right from wrong and how to act rightly in a way that is good for us and others and pleases God. Now, sometimes it might seem like some animals do know right from wrong. Here's an example. When a dog sneaks a piece of human food off the table or perhaps gets into the trash can and its owner comes home, I'm speaking from my own experience. The dog might tuck its tail beneath itself and sink lower to the floor and maybe not want to look its owner in the eye. It knows it did something against the rules. But a dog, in this case, is not actually feeling guilt. Instead, it tucks its tail because it senses your tone of voice or your body language. It knows it did something that the owner didn't want it to do, but it doesn't understand right and wrong like we do. The dog is reacting out of fear or instinct, not because it made a thoughtful moral choice. Because of our moral responsibility, we can make choices that show love, kindness, and respect for God and others. We are responsible for our actions, not just what we do, but also how it affects the people and the world around us. Listen carefully to Micah 6:8. The Lord has told you, human, what is good. He has told you what he wants from you, to do what is right to other people. Love being kind to others, and live humbly, obeying your God. This verse says that God has told us what is good. And listener, if we know what is good and right, then we can also identify the opposite, what is wrong. The famous author, C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia series, he said it this way: "A man does not call a line crooked unless he has some idea of a straight line." What do these words mean? They mean that we would not know a line was crooked if we did not know what a straight line looked like. This is the same with right and wrong. We know what is wrong because we know what is right. When we see something the opposite of what is right, deep down inside of us, we know it is wrong. Remember Micah 6:8, that God has told us what is good. How do you think God tells us what is good? He tells us in his word, the Bible, and through his Holy Spirit. We can read and study God's word, spend time in prayer, and listen to his Spirit. As we do these things, our eyes and hearts are fixed on what is good and right. I want to close our lesson with a prayer from Psalm 25, 4-5. Pray with me. Lord, tell me your ways. Show me how to live. Guide me in your truth and teach me, my God, my Savior. I trust you all day long. Amen. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
My name is Abner, and I'm 7 years old, and I live in Missouri. And I got a question: where do big animals go in the winter that don't hibernate in the harsh winter?
That is a great question, Abner. Where do big animals that don't hibernate go in the harsh winter? In many places around the world, winter brings cold weather, and sometimes snow and ice. Some small mammals, including groundhogs and hedgehogs, hibernate in the winter. God designed their bodies to go through some very big changes to save energy and stay safe and survive the winter. Larger mammals do not hibernate, but God created these creatures with other ways to weather the winter. Some caribou migrate from the tundra, where they give birth in the summer months. These are called their calving grounds. They move away from those into the forest in the winter. The forests offer the caribou protection from the icy wind. God created other animals, including wolves, deer, and fox, to grow warm winter coats. Their winter coats have thick, dense hair that insulates against the cold. These animals may also reduce activity to save energy in the cold months when food is harder to find. God created all of his creatures with specific features and strategies that they need to thrive in their habitats and stay safe in the winter. Thanks for your great question, Abner. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And NatTheo Club members, remember after this lesson to click over to our bonus video to see video and hear a story of when a coyote ran full speed right toward me. And learn some tips for staying safe when you're hiking where coyotes might be. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes. It's time to answer our trivia question. When are coyotes most active? A, at noon. B, at dawn and dusk. C, in the middle of the night. Or D, all day long. The answer is B. Coyotes are crepuscular, which means they are mostly active at dawn and dusk. Now it's your turn to explore. Go look for coyotes at dawn or dusk. Watch or listen for them from a safe distance and with an adult present. Look around grassy areas or fields. If you are in a car, your car headlights might shine off the reflective layer in the coyote's eyes called the tapetum lucidum. Watch and wonder at the amazing ways that God designed coyotes. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on coyotes, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all